Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. And I remembered to say the title of the podcast.
You didn't last time.
No, I did not.
That's all right.
It's very sad. Tonight's episode is called Prairie Con.
What's up?
I hate the title so much. Prairie Confidential.
But didn't we have a Desert Confidential? We've had a couple confidentials.
No, I don't recall any except the movie L.A. Confidential. We've had Under the Prairie Sky.
No, but didn't we have a different Desert Confidential?
No.
Okay.
We had maybe there's the Secrets in the Desert. There's two, I think, Secrets in the Desert. And I think we've covered one and I want to cover the other one for our Secrets Patreon series.
So what does confidential mean? I feel like it's like a newspaper, like Prairie Confidential. Get your papers.
Yeah. It's papers something, here. Something is confidential. I gotta go. I haven't done the recap in this in a while. Like I did it like last week. So I don't really remember what was confidential. So we'll see if I get to it and I go, oh, that was confidential.
I'll help you. Should we also let our listeners know that I am reporting tonight from Las Vegas, from Sin City again?
Say, Katie, reporting from Las Vegas.
This is Katie reporting from Sin City.
That's good.
What's the haps, Kimberly?
That's good.
What you got
for me? La La Land is lonely without you, Katie.
What you got for me, doll?
Also, can I just say that my left ear is so itchy tonight? So if you hear noise, it's literally me trying to itch my ears through my headphones.
Do you have water in your ear?
No, I just get my allergies. Make my ears
just the
really,
one?
No, it's usually both, but tonight it's just my left ear.
Is it inside the ear?
Yeah, so I've Q-tipped like multiple times.
Okay, can you be careful? Because I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't want a repeat of the Q-tip incident circa 2004.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Did we tell that story?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe we'll save it for a Q&A with K and K.
We haven't done one of those. The Q-tip Q&A.
Yeah. Okay, it wasn't that funny.
You got to wait for that one. Also, by the way, speaking of get your papers, look what I can do with my notes. Can you see me? I can click, click, click them on the table.
And we're going to post these notes.
Everyone should know that I wrote all my notes on various little hotel pad paper things.
I'm excited. Read all about it.
But also, I am in Vegas not for fun. I'm in Vegas because Oliver is competing in a high-intensity jiu-jitsu tournament, which is hilarious, which we'll also save for a Q&A because it is something to experience if you have not been to one of these athletic competitions.
I want to go.
You need to see it. They're just cuddling each other to death.
I don't like encouraging his male cuddling because I fear he gets really overzealous when he jokingly chokes me, and he thinks it's really funny.
But
and
he's so
one day
calm.
He's just gonna snap my neck.
He's not. He's so calm and centered on the mat. But the best part is all of his teammates yelling the things that they yell at him, and then I'm trying to yell them, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Get heavy, Ollie. Get heavy.
What? What is get heavy?
Well, Oliver can do that thing where he places all of his weight in one part of his body. So he'll do it to me on the sly sometimes. He'll have like a leg over the top of my leg, and all of a sudden my leg feels like it's going to snap in half because all of his weight has moved into that leg. It's
terrifying.
I'll have him do it to you. I'll have him do it on your arm. It's the weirdest thing. He can make his head weigh 1,000 pounds. It's some voodoo stuff. I don't know.
He's a potential murderer. He could kill
potential murderer slash
with
magician.
Pinky.
Yeah,
pinky
I know.
Finger.
Wizard.
Do they yell sweep the leg?
They do yell sweep the leg. They yell sweep the leg. Get heavy.
Karate Kid.
And then what
Isn't
else?
Isn't that like an illegal move to sweep the leg?
No, not in jiu-jitsu.
I never saw Karate Kid.
No, they do, but they all know what's happening. And the problem with jiu-jitsu is you can't tell who's winning. So they will like. Sometimes you would think that the person underneath the other person is the one that's losing, and that's not always true. Ollie was underneath this guy for a while, but Ollie was getting points because it turns out Ollie is slowly choking this man with his gi, and you just can't see it, but the ref sees it. So the ref is tapping and giving points.
With his knee?
Gi. The gi is the robes that they wear, these like really starchy robes. So they learn how to like choke each other, and then the guy taps on the floor, and that means he's tapped out and he's done because he's gonna pass out.
I don't trust the gi. I don't know. It makes me nervous. I don't know.
The fact, the name of it, that's gi.
Yeah.
Moving on, Prairie Confidential, what you got?
Okay, so this episode is Prairie Confidential, season 26, episode 51. It just aired August 13th, 2018. We're back to doing a current episode. We've been kind of all over the place, doing sometimes repeats, sometimes they're saving their like saddest episodes for the summer, I feel like. So a lot of them I just have not wanted to cover.
Because they don't want to contribute to SADS, to the winter disorder. So they have to do them in the summer when it's bright and sunny outside and people are going to the beach. Yeah, because they don't want to be held responsible for people being extra sad during the SADS. Why don't you think that's true? I feel like that's true. Don't mock.
You think that Dateline is concerned about their viewers having seasonal affective disorder.
No.
And so they are saving, and so they put their cheeriest murder episodes on in the winter.
I also thought there were a lot of hidden things in Dateline, too, which Josh Mankiewicz rightly set me on the right path. So
yes. One of our latest The Mank Files, we asked him if there was a theme to when they're airing these episodes,
yeah.
And there absolutely was not.
So I'm definitely wrong, so just forget it.
Yeah. Also, my favorite The Mank Files just dropped to Patreons, and then it's going to everyone this weekend. It's my favorite. We play a quiz with him. We test if he has car blindness. Mm-hmm. We talk to him about secrets resorts. Mm-hmm. We ask him how to say caramel/caramel. It's awesome.
We got some good info. Also, he weighs in on the clothing debate.
Yes.
For what people should wear on Dateline, which I have things to say from this episode. So I'm really glad that he weighed in already about this. But we have to wait because that hasn't been released yet. So no, I won't tell you what he said.
We also talk about farmersonly.com.
Oh, that's true.
We really brought it. No, he really brought it.
No, you really brought it too. You were the one. I was the one saying we shouldn't ask that. Gasp.
But then once we were there, you asked my questions that you first didn't want to ask.
I did.
Yeah.
And I let you ask about hot dog and all sorts of stuff.
He was chill.
He was.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? Yeah, he's our friend.
He's not our friend.
No. We want him to be our friend, but.
Yeah, we're trying.
We're trying. So this episode is hosted by Keith Morrison, also not our friend. Recommended that we cover this was Pippi Swims and SB Smith 43 on Twitter. They are our friends.
Yay.
Well, I consider them friends. They're friends /listeners. And this episode starts by saying it's a modest place, modest in a good way.
Okay. So the first question I have on my note of notes is what exactly do you think modest in a bad way is?
It means like a very small house. You might say it's modest, and that's a polite way of saying it is lower class.
So, sorry, but he was talking about a town. The town was modest.
So the town was like not fancy. It was simple and down to earth.
So what's modest in the bad way in regards to town?
Crappy.
You're struggling.
Just a crappy, low-class town that you would drive through and they only have it's Schitt's Creek. It's modest in a bad way.
Yeah.
And this town is modest in a good way, apparently. But I feel like, okay, if these freaking people on this group text about fantasy football don't stop texting me and it's popping up on my phone, I do not care. My dad runs my team. How do they not know that by now? That I don't want to talk about it. Ugh. And then they all have iPhones, so they all go, I get texts that go, liked, and then it quotes the comment before. Or laughed at, and then it quotes the comment.
Yeah, that's a new iPhone thing. I don't know how I feel about that. I have not done that. I've not participated in that. I've seen it happen. Greg did it to us on our text. Greg, I saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm out. Okay. So, but I was wondering if maybe Dateline was listening to us say that they kind of diss a lot of towns. Especially smaller towns. And now he's trying to say kind of diss, but in like a nice way.
But did he also listen to us when we were talking about how poetic he is? He's unbelievably poetic in this episode. There is a lot of sort of rambling analogies. And
I don't think he can turn that off, though.
I think it's getting more intense is what I'm saying.
Mm.
I think it's growing. I think he's like ready to write one of those books, the bathroom books that sits and it's inspirational.
Yes.
poems about towns and Keith's people. Keith's
toilet book?
Yeah, Keith's toilet book. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that in a bad Keith's way. You know that, right? Keith's
toilet book of poetry.
Because what's the thing that came out? I'm trying to think. It was the one, like, little advice. It was like,
are
little.
Are you talking about, like, Chicken Soup for the Soul?
It's not Chicken Soup for the Soul. It was Don't just sweat quotes.
The small stuff.
It was just quotes, and it was, like, everyday things.
Like, everyday inspirations, but it was quotes, or something.
And it was little. It was, like, the, like, 3x5, little, and it sat in the bathroom and had a plaid cover. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, the bathroom book, let me know.
Keith could totally write one of those.
Yeah, he could.
Also, the dry cleaner by my house has inspirational quotes on their big, large board outside, and I get a lot of wisdom from them.
I thought you were going to say in their bathroom, and I was like, how many times could you possibly have used your dry cleaner's bathroom? Because that's weird. You can't hold it. You're in and out.
Also, can we just discuss how few things I have that require dry cleaning? Have you ever seen me wear something that you go, she should dry clean that?
Why were you at the cleaners? Oh, just the clothes on the outside. Yeah. Is this Milton Eddie's?
Yes. Edie's. Yes.
Oh, it's Edie's. Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Edie's. Okay. I could be wrong.
Like Little Edie?
Yeah, Big Edie, Little Edie, maybe.
The label's so faded. Mother darling. Sorry, I'm done.
I spent way too long explaining to Jill what Grey Gardens was the other day.
That is also, for anyone listening, my impression of Jinx Monsoon from Drag Race doing Little Edie. Because I can't actually do her. I can only sort of copy Jinx Monsoon doing it. You should really watch Drag Race. They play the Snatch Game and they impersonate celebrities. And one of the...
I understood so few words that you just said. Jinx Monsoon is a person's name.
Yes, a drag queen.
What is the Snatch Game?
Snatch Game is like the match game, but they call it the Snatch Game on Drag Race. And so they have a panel of celebrities. So it's the drag queens impersonating a celebrity. And one of the queens one year chose Little Edie. And it was brilliant and flawless. She had like a magnifying glass and we had the head scarf wrap, the whole thing. Mother darling. It was great with this perfect accent. It was brilliant.
So good. If everyone hasn't seen Great Gardens, really, you should seek it out.
Yeah, see that. And at least see Drag Race so you know what we're talking about. Yeah. Season 4, I believe. Four okay. or five, something.
Okay. I'm just, that dog is barking outside. Okay.
I hear him.
What is going, okay.
What are you barking at?
The sun that is down, but still radiating massive amounts so of much heat at us.
So much heat.
It was only 98 today, so it was just brisk.
Oh, yeah, it was just nice and lovely. All right, so what happens in our modest town?
Okay, so this is, I forgot how to say it. Minot. Wait, is it like French? Like you don't say the T?
Minot. Minot, North Dakota. That sounds terrible. Cut that, please.
Minot. No, keep that. Keep that. Keep that.
It's definitely not North Dakota. Prima that sounds Nocta? Terrible.
Oh, Prima Nocta is that thing that in The Office, Michael Scott thought he was doing it for Phyllis's wedding, and it meant you were supposed to sleep with the bride before the wedding. And he's like, I will be as the boss performing Prima Nocta. And then when he realized what it was, like, it's not what I thought it was.
What is wrong with that? You know, that's the one episode of The Office I can't watch is Phyllis's wedding.
It's one of the most painful episodes.
No,
of all
I can't
time.
Make it through it. I it's can't. So painful. I can't. Yeah. I've tried a couple times and I can't do it. It breaks my spirit.
Yeah, no, it's really one of the most awkward episodes of all time. Oh. Okay. So this is in Minot, whatever it's called, you don't know, North Dakota,
yep.
About Angela Wilder. She was a nursing student. I wrote down student nurse, nursing student, same thing? I don't know if that's the same thing. Is that the same thing? Is that a dumb question?
Kind of. It's all right. Okay. She was a nursing. What do you mean? What's the difference in your head? We can't get into these things. We have to press on.
We're pressing on.
She was studying nursing, to be a nurse.
Yeah.
She was and taking classes.
Yeah. And she's a mother of three. And she had just told her professor, who seems lovely, that she was pregnant again, fourth child. So the next day, the professor, they're having like a test or something, and Angela's not there in class. And the professor asks everyone, has anyone seen or heard from Angela? No one says anything. So they go on with the class. This killed me. This was like, I was done at the end. Like, I wanted the episode to be over. I was ready. I was like, I called it. At the end of the class, one of the students goes, oh, I think I saw police tape outside of Angela's house this morning on the way to school. WTF.
What's wrong with you?
Why did you not say that when the professor asked at the beginning of class?
Maybe she didn't think about it.
If anyone had heard from Angela.
Maybe the professor didn't actually ask that. And maybe she also asked at the end.
No,
also, they were taking a test that day. So the teacher probably said, has anyone heard from Angela? And the woman who saw her was like, oh, don't remember. Or wait. And then they, okay, test time, whole hour. Then at the end of class, she says, you know, actually, I think I did see the police. I don't think you should be that shocked by that. What you should be more shocked by is that literally the only exposition we get on Angela is that she's a nursing student. There are no childhood photos. There is nothing. We have zero information on this victim in this case.
None. Except that she's extremely fertile.
Except that she's having babies and making possibly bad male choices with her male partners.
But I'm sorry. I really think that student did it because who else?
Oh my God.
Why would you not say, I really think you are being so overly generous. If someone says, have you heard from so-and-so? And you think you saw police tape outside of their apartment on the way to class.
I guess.
And that person is not in class. Those two things alone would make you say something. Then number three, the professor asks you, has anyone heard from Angela?
It's true. Okay. All right. I think maybe I'm just being a cold-hearted snake. I think you're right. I did not think about it that much.
I'm just saying I don't want that person to be my nurse because they are unobservant as
because they don't have good attention to detail.
No. Okay. So Angela's fiance calls the police and
what's his name?
Chris.
There we go.
Okay. So Chris calls the police. He says he came home from his night shift and the back door of the house is kicked in and my girl ain't answering the phone. And my son's inside with her.
Two-year-old. But you know what?
But you know what? I'm going to stay outside and I'm going to wait for the cops to come.
Because the 911 operator told me to.
Yeah.
Said, no, sir, don't go inside.
How does that sit with you?
Probably how it sits with 99.9% of people listening to our podcast. Again, WTF. Are you kidding me? You don't go inside. Your son and your wife is there and the door is kicked in.
Yeah.
And you're
just have said you would go in for me.
Of course I would go in for you.
I have not reciprocated that.
You would go, because I know you would, and you're just like trying to be snarky. I know that if push came to shove, it's why the only reason I'm not mad about it.
If there's Kimberly, someone you would mean go in, there,
you're a brave girl. You would go in for me.
I'm not a brave girl. I am always in Hufflepuff, and I'm not a Gryffindor. Sure. You, what am I going to do if there's someone bad in there? You wouldn't want me to get hurt. That's selfish.
I think you would be staying. Here's what I think you would do: is you would stay on the phone with 911 and walk through the door.
Yeah,
and
maybe
be like stay on the line with me.
Yeah,
you were on the phone with someone, you would go in. But for this man, who we've seen pictures of, who is by no means a diminutive person.
Yeah.
He's a burly
guy. Yeah.
I mean, grab a brick from the outside walk or something and walk yourself through that door and see if you can do something to help.
Right.
When something might be going down, especially if your two-year-old son is in there. That's crazy to me.
I always think, like, what would I do? I probably couldn't do anything. But then I think, what if someone's, like, literally dying or maybe just was murdered and there's, like, a three-minute window before 911 gets there.
You could have saved them.
And CPR might save them.
Or you putting a tourniquet on or you covering up, you know what I'm saying? No, absolutely. Yeah. He doesn't – I just cannot believe he didn't go inside. And Keith seems horrified as well.
Right. So Keith is talking to Detective – Butchin, who I totally have a crush on.
What, flat top? Flat hair?
He is flat hair. He has a butt chin. He talks kind of crooked out of the side of his mouth. I thought it was cute.
I'm gonna wreck your world in a minute because I have a theory about him and it's going to not make you happy then.
Okay. That's okay. I'll wait. Okay. So they both, Keith and Butchin, are totally valiant young men, older gentlemen. and say that they would go in a second. Like, they both fully say that they would go in. So, yeah. Keith, you can come rescue us anytime. So, the police show up. They find Angela. The son is fine. The little boy's fine. But Angela's been stabbed 40 times. And my she God. Is dead. Yeah. And so, the police start investigating. There's a butt chin cop. And then there's this super hot blonde cop lady. And I am shipping them. And Katie,
yep.
Do you have anything to say to the people?
Nope.
Can I say it?
Nope.
Can I do a Twitter poll?
No, I'm an old fogey. Okay, I did not know what shipping was. And Kimberly brought it up in an outside conversation. That I don't know why I have to say outside. Obviously, we talk outside of talking on a microphone.
We do?
Brings up shipping.
Do we know each other? Who are you?
Brings up that would be amazing though if we just met on Craigslist looking for a person to listen to me recap Dateline episode. And then I called and I was like, I've got time on my hand and 1,000 cats. Let's do this.
And we never once spoke outside of the podcast.
That
like
was
we
it.
Made a conscientious effort
to never
meet
to keep
in
it
person.
Fresh.
Keep it
That's really good.
I think we should do it.
It's too late now. It's too late, but maybe we could bring in a third party that way. Yeah. But I feel like that's going to end in disaster. That's going to end in a Dateline murder is
yes.
what's going to happen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
That
so,
would be a Lifetime movie.
I didn't know what shipping was. I didn't know it was a thing. I've never heard it as a term. I know that people out there right now are also not know what it is.
I agree with you. I think there's lots of people who don't. I was just surprised that you didn't.
But ship as a verb is just that's a little like Paris Hilton-y to me. I'm going to ship them. It sounds like that to me.
That's fine and valid, but okay. That doesn't make it any less true. And you, one person did say, stop trying to make trowels happen. You're off brand of trolls.
Who said never, that? I want a name
on Twitter, it was really
and a phone
funny.
Number.
It might have been Natalie Bannon. I don't remember. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to make trials happen. It just happened, and it was a magical moment, and I'm going to make $1 million. So get on the good ship lollipop. See what I did there? And
no, I
go
don't
for
see
trials.
What you just did there.
I just inserted ship into a thing.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
The good ship trolley pop.
Oh,
it's fine. We're done. I tried. Lolly trowel. Okay, done.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm going to just do a Twitter poll and just see, because I agree that there's probably a lot of people
a
who
lot
haven't
of
heard
people that
ship
don't
ship.
Know.
But you watch so much television as much as I do, and it's usually in reference to fictional characters. So I
okay.
just was so surprised that you had
but
not
we're
heard
watching
it.
Different things. Do you know what oh is?
No, I do not. That was a sound yeah. that you made. It sounded like a parrot.
Oh,
that sounds like Drag Race.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, but see, you wouldn't know what it was.
No, I think you're kind of saying okay, but yeah. you're doing it with a flamenco twist.
A flamenco twist. Okay. All right. So back to shipping. So now you just ruined my theory is the problem. Is that because that's how I was going to bust your bubble about the prosecutor or the detective you have a crush on is that there's a point in this. It's coming. I'm sure you're going to talk about it. But I think that there is a moment where the ship set sail.
That's what I'm hoping for. No, I have
okay,
lots of comments about that, and I am
okay.
there for it.
Oh, good.
I want it to have happened.
All right, so good. I was there for it, too, which is, okay, we are on the same team on this. This
for
is
once,
exciting.
I know.
Look at this. All right.
We're shipping it together. We're on a joint ship.
We're like, on the cruise together.
We're on a kayak together.
Yeah. God, we would die.
Should we cover the kayak murder? There is a kayak murder.
Yeah, we should cover that.
It's not a Dateline, though. I believe it's a 2020 and or a 48 hours.
Speaking of kayak, can you do a poll about how many people think that we should audition for The Amazing Race?
Okay. I can say no right now. I think it's a terrible idea because of the heights and because our stress levels. Also, I'm so very lazy and I would want to stop for a Frappuccino everywhere.
I wonder if it'd be watchable. I wonder if people would enjoy that.
It might be watchful for the first episode. Yeah.
Oh, and then they'd be like, get her out? Okay. Right,
no, we just wouldn't make it past the first episode.
Oh, yeah, I see. All right.
You have to run right, with like a really heavy backpack.
Oh, yeah, it is really heavy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
and also, God. There's the crying, the sweating. It would just be, we'd just be messy.
And the heights. Yeah.
Heights. We can't do heights. I don't, it would be bad. Okay. So moving on. We're doing great at keeping this to be a quick episode,
by the way. No, it's going
to
be fast. Go ahead.
Okay. So the fiance talks to the police, Chris. He says he was working at Walmart. Bingo.
I think that counts.
Totally counts.
For bingo? Okay, great.
Yeah. Right. We never specified on bingo if they had to go buy their kill kit at Walmart or if they were just a shopper or employee. So I think it's fine.
Okay. Or just the Walmart's mentioned. I think it's just a Walmart blanket, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Should we skip fashion police? His t-shirt says, got oxygen?
Yeah. I don't know what it means.
What does that mean?
Is it in reference to the oxygen network is the only thing I could think of, and he got it for free? Or my thought was-
Then he's a true crime fan, I think, which is kind of interesting.
I think he's more an extreme sports fan, and he's a climber. I think got oxygen is in reference to mountain climbing. He lives in North Dakota. Maybe he's going off into like the, where's Mount Rushmore? South Dakota, right? You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
You don't know, you're Googling it. She's, ladies and gentlemen, she's Googling it on her phone. I can see her Googling. It's in South Dakota.
It's
in South Dakota.
The place that it's in is South Dakota.
Yeah, thanks.
Which I knew this whole time.
You did great. Okay, good job. So anyways, I think that it's more in reference to got oxygen seems like a climber thing.
But did he look super athletic?
I don't know.
When would he climb? He was working the night shift at Walmart. Your energy levels are weekends. Sapped.
They get weekends. They go for a weekend.
Yeah, but your sleep schedule's all off.
This is not you. This is Chris. You're not Chris. You don't know what Chris does.
Yeah. If I worked a night shift, I would do exactly what I would... I basically do, except my night shift is watching TV and playing puzzle games on my phone.
I thought you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to by my own volition, but I'm still doing it sometimes.
What are you playing?
The jigsaw puzzle and the escape rooms games.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I stopped cold turkey Einstein's riddle.
What about the one I see an ad for it where it's like you put, it's wordplay where they give you an item and then they give you two pictures and you have to take parts of the pictures and put them in to make. So it's like cactus. And then they show you a picture of like a bird cage and I don't know, like a marijuana plant. And then you have to like take like a leaf from this and a part of the cage from that and it makes the item. You know what I'm talking about, do you?
I have no idea. Mm. I'm willing to try it, though.
No, I don't want you to try it.
I'm willing to stay up until 3 a.m. I'm willing to take one for the team and play till 3 a.m. while listening to Bob's Burgers and Designing Women.
No.
They're going to do a Designing Women reboot, maybe.
Oh, that would be exciting. Maybe we should do a Designing Women recap. I would love that. I'm Julia Sugarbaker.
She's the best.
She is the best. Dixie Carter, where are you? Come on our podcast.
She's passed away.
She did?
Yeah. I looked it up recently.
Can we get Jean Smart?
Jean Smart is still alive and well.
I will take Jean Smart, Annie Potts, Delta Burke, anyone.
Delta Burke is still alive, yes. She doesn't do as much acting, but she's still alive.
How did Dixie Carter pass away?
I don't know. And also, Meshach Taylor.
Yeah. Is he alive?
Passed away.
Oh. Yeah.
I know. It's heartbreaking when you're watching a repeat of a show and you fall in love with it and then you think it's current? No, they're all gone.
Okay. All right.
Also, do you want to be really depressed?
No, I don't. Really, I don't.
Okay.
Who is it?
No one's died. It just was something really sad.
No, stop telling me. Okay, don't tell me. Tell me later. I can't. We got to get through this.
Okay. So, Chris says that Angela dropped him off at Walmart. He kissed her and said, I love you, sweetheart. Drive safe. Have a good night. Now, I want to go back to Michael Peterson from last week. This is something that I've always noticed on Datelines is I don't trust whenever someone explains to the host what their last conversation was and it's like really gooey, gushy love stuff when most normal couples Yes, he said he kissed
not to
her.
Not to keep.
He told the cops. Whatever.
All right.
He said he kissed her. He said, "I love you, sweetheart. Drive safe. Have a good night." Now, most people, if they're like long-term dating or married or whatever, it's like, "Okay, bye. May love you, whatever." But whatever.
Wrong.
What do you have passionate?
You're being cynical.
Okay, but can I just go back to Michael Peterson? The reason I believed Michael Peterson more was because when he said his wife went inside, he said it was like, "Okay, bye." It was like nothing. It was like no kisses, nothing flowery. It was like a normal married couple going inside. It's nothing. It's no big deal. Right. And he said it like that. He was like, "I don't know, good night, whatever." You know? And I was like, that seems more real to me than like, "I love you so much. I'll see you soon. I can't wait to see. I miss you. Someone's about to die." Okay. And it always makes me very suspicious because I don't know. So, but we've heard from my parents now, and my parents my mom says, "I love you" constantly.
Yeah.
Dad, I don't know if I've ever heard my dad say it to my mom. Okay. He'd be like, "Let the dog out." That would be like what he finally said. Like our last words were, "Did you feed the dog?" And that would be
Aww.
It. Angela was nervous that night. She had thought she had heard someone the night before, like outside the house. She thought she was being watched. So Chris said he called her throughout the night to check on her, but she stopped answering and he thought she had gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris is in the interrogation room and he's like, I was like, is he screaming? But then I realized he wasn't really screaming and he wasn't really that upset. He was like moderately upset.
He was yelling.
But she was dead. And then he was on the phone saying Richie, was on his cell phone. He's saying, "Richie is the piece of doo-doo who did this. I know it." But then it was really weird to me because instead of saying, "I'm going to freaking kill Richie for hurting Angela," he says, "I hope the police pin this on him." Like, no one ever says that.
Why are you surprised by this? Because this is the same guy that doesn't go into the house.
That's kind of
true. He's letting everyone do the work for him.
Yeah, basically, you're
like, right. Like, he's just like, "I'll just let the police take it from here." Here's my question, the thing you have not mentioned yet. Why in the heck in the interview room am I seeing his 2-year-old son sitting on his lap with his face blurred out? Why are you bringing your 2-year-old? You could not. You don't have any friends. No one will babysit your son when your wife has just been murdered so that you can go and interview with the police. You have to take your 2-year-old in the room with you. I'm sorry. Well,
it's maybe very early in the morning. His friends are all out rock climbing, apparently.
It's not very early in the morning, is it?
It's after his night shift. So okay. I don't really know what time it is. Maybe no one answered the phone. I don't know.
Okay, so but also he has to be in the interrogation room. There's not enough people on at the police station at that hour.
Maybe a small town.
For someone to sit with the 2-year-old and be like, "Let's play," I don't know. I was gonna say canasta, but 2-year-olds don't play that. Play Tiddlywinks or whatever.
I'm sorry.
Here, I have some crayons for you.
Canasta? Yeah, no, they don't play that.
Sorry, what
exactly
is canasta?
Tiddlywinks?
What's canasta? It's a card game. Is canasta a card game?
Or does it have tiles like mahjong? I think it has cards.
I'm going to write it down.
Okay. Maybe write down tiddlywinks as well because I kind of want to know.
Tiddlywinks is a real game.
Is it with the little things that you flip?
I think there's pogs type things.
Yeah, yeah. We were never children. We don't know these things. But I did find that weird because I would be like, "I'm going to kill him." I would not be like, "I hope that he gets arrested and gets his day in court."
Yeah, for real.
Like, that's not what you say. You go,
"Justice will be served.
I hope the cops get him and he has a lengthy trial and he is in front of the jury of his peers who will decide what sentence he should get from this." It's never, no one ever says that. They say, "I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill him."
Yeah, exactly.
It was really weird. Okay. Angela had met Richie, who the guy that Chris thinks did it, as kids. She married Richie and he adopted her little girl. So she already had a baby with someone else. And then she got together with Richie, and he adopted their first daughter. And then they had their own kid together. And Richie was very funny, and he was in the Air Force. And they look really cute together in their pictures. But then they were smiling, and they kind of like looked alike. They were one of those couples that look alike. And then, but then I guess it went terribly wrong, and he was convicted of domestic abuse, and they got divorced. Huh. So then he got together with another lady named Cindy, and Angela got together with Chris, and now they had a baby, and now is pregnant with her fourth baby. So this is no judgment, four children with three different people, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no judgment.
Good.
So Richie and Fertile Myrtle over here shared their two first kids and had a bad custody dispute. He had broken into her house and was just creepy and terrible trying to get more time with these kids. Mm-hmm. So the police call in Richie, the ex, and they say Angela's dead. And he says, oh, really? Like, oh, really is what I say when my mom tells me that, like, a coworker at her school got a new cat. And, like, that's the basis level of interest I can muster about someone who I do not know getting a new animal that I don't particularly care about. Is, oh, really? Oh, really? Like, I'm pretending to listen. I'm sorry.
You didn't have to pick cat. You could have picked any other animal. Well, I could have said turtle. You could have said, yeah, got a new iguana.
If she had said my coworker got a new dog, I would say drop everything. I want to see pictures. If she had said my coworker started reading Harry Potter, I'd be like, tell me what chapter she's on. Go. I want to know everything.
Let me ask two questions. If they said my coworker at work got a new llama,
I would be like, tell me everything.
Okay.
Does my coworker spit? At Where work do they keep it? What is its poops like? Got a miniature like?
Pony.
I want the same details. What is its poops like? Where do you keep it?
My coworker at work got a new dwarf hamster.
Nah, I don't know your coworker. I'm not that into it.
Okay. So it's exotic animals or dogs?
Yes. Correct.
My coworker at work got a new bird.
Why are you telling me this? Can I go now? Is Dad home? Can I talk to him?
Okay. Yeah, birds are a rough one. People do love birds, though.
Yeah.
Do a Twitter poll on how many people love birds. I'm curious about that. I've never had a bird.
This is a whole lot of Twitter polls.
Okay, sorry.
My parents had a bird growing up, but I think it died from going into the glass because it was dumb. I think most birds are...
Well, don't they have tiny little brains? Isn't bird brain like a thing that people talk about? Bird brain.
Yeah.
But then aren't some birds like suspiciously smart?
Yeah, like... Some parrots lived, I think they lived to be like 90.
Yeah.
And they learned how to talk.
I think parrots are smart and they're your friends. I think a parrot is like a companion.
Remember when Peggy Hill is trying to teach that bird how to talk over the phone? That bird of the late, it's just such a good, okay. Sorry, enough King of the Hill. Okay, right. So back to the episode. He said that, Richie said that he was working that night. He also works late. And then he went home to Cindy, which is spelled S-Y-N-D-I.
No.
With, yes.
No.
Yes.
C-Y-N-D-I.
What did I say?
S-Y.
Oh, no. Sorry. Big S, small A, small N, big D, small E, big E. Does anyone know what that's from? No one knows what that's from.
Is that from Greece?
No. Okay, so.
What is it?
L.A. Story. So Cindy is spelled, sorry, C-Y-N-D-I. Uh-huh. Which I'm fine with because I really like Cyndi Lauper. So I was totally okay with that untraditional spelling.
I drove all night to get to you.
Cindy comes into the interrogation room. She has her hair pulled back and is wearing a giant puffy coat and is such a small person that I thought it was a young boy. Oh. I thought... It was like, you know, Kristen Stewart in Panic Room,
yeah.
She totally looked like a young boy.
Yeah.
That's who I thought this looked like because she's such a tiny person. Okay, so the police say Angela had put up a fight and Richie says, my DNA won't be there. But then the police notice a scratch on his face and he says his son gave it to him. And I was like, that is totally make sense because of our friends that I babysat for their children. And
who had the nails.
2-year-old
yes.
scratched my face up yes. like a mother. I was bleeding in 2 different spots
I
on my face.
I have pictures sent to me to prove it.
Basically,
children
are very dangerous.
Especially at 2 years old.
Yes, if you do not cut
the scratching.
Fingernails.
Or babies with the scratching, because babies will scratch because their nails grow so fast and they scratch.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so then.
It also wasn't a giant gaping gash. It was a little scratch on his face. It was like, crank. It could have been a 2-year-old scratch.
It could have been a 2-year-old scratch, yeah. So then they go to Richie's car, though, and they find a spot of blood, which turns out to be Angela's blood. So then the butt chin cop and the blonde cop hug. And that was when I was really shipping them.
So we are on the same wavelength because that is what I have in my notes. I have.
But this shipping is assuming they're both single. I in no way want to break up a marriage or to instigate an affair.
But here was my thing. I had two detectives in love, question mark, hugging, question mark. And the only reason that I am with you on this is because it's rarely in Dateline episodes that we sometimes see it between male detective counterparts that say,
yes.
we high-fived, we shook hands, I almost kissed him. Like, there's things like that that happen that are great and hysterical and you love it because it's a bromance. Yes. But in this one, he made a specific point to say, oh, there was hugging.
Yeah.
We hugged. And that makes me think in my head, I'm immediately transported to whatever room they are in where they hug and that's their first physical,
awkward.
That's
it's
their
like,
physical contact.
It's one of those hugs that lasts a little too long.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then maybe she kind of closed her eyes and smelled his shirt. And then they pulled away. And
he
then
smelled like
kind
Polo
of,
Sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of looked at each other and it was like awkward. Like, are we going to kiss or hug again?
Should
what do we do? And then it was like, okay, I'm just going to go. Do you want coffee? I'm going to go get some coffee. Like really awkward, trying to break the tension. Okay. Bye. Bye. Yeah. See you later. Like that.
We are definitely on
the same rom-com territory here. This
we are on
rom-com.
The same page. When I heard that, I was like, why are you bringing that up? That was obviously a big moment for you, sir.
Yes. So maybe like he had just gotten out of a marriage and she had just broken up with this douchebag.
Yeah.
And then
she'd been dating the assistant DA.
Who is
and he
a jerk.
Turns out to be, exactly, a womanizer.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I'm so into it.
So detectives in love. Okay. Detectives in love in North Dakota. We got this.
Yes. So the DNA under her fingernails also turned out to be Richie. So it seems like it's totally
that's the
done.
Big one. That's, that's it.
So they arrest Richie. He won't talk, but after a couple months of finding out that 2 months in jail is no picnic, which ask Michelle, we already know that it's no picnic, he's ready to talk. He says the real killer was Chris, Angela's fiance, who had found her, or not really found her because he didn't really go inside. Chris had, this is his story, Chris had discovered that Angela was cheating on him with a new guy. Maybe the baby was this fourth, maybe it was 4 children with a 4th guy. That's what Chris thinks is happening. Mm-hmm. So he decided.
No, that's what Richie is saying Chris
said.
So,
This is what Richie is saying Chris found out, that there was a new guy and that she was cheating on him when he went to his night job. So Chris decided to turn to his one enemy and pair up like supervillains, and he would get together with Richie, Angela's ex, and the two of them would prove that she was cheating. And that way, he could get custody of his respective kids, and Richie could get custody of his respective kids with
Good
her.
Lord.
Yeah. I have never seen men want children so badly.
Yeah, wow.
They really want the responsibility. So Richie agreed, according to Richie's story, Richie agreed to go with Chris to catch her in the act and get more ammunition for the custody battle. Now, I'm not sure if you're having a custody battle if you say, well, she's cheating on her current boyfriend that's not me, so that makes her an unfit parent, so I should get the kids. I don't really know how that would work, why that would affect whatever. So the two guys, they're like bro friends now, and they go into the bedroom and try to surprise her, catch her in the act of coitus. and it looked like someone else was in the bed, but it was a body pillow. And Chris went nuts and started stabbing her because he didn't realize it was a body pillow. It's a comedy of errors, really. And Richie is crying, telling the story. And here's the kicker. He says he goes to check her pulse after Chris was done stabbing her. And she reached up because she was fighting, because she was dying. And she scratched his face. And then she said, "I love you."
Oh, come on. And then
she died. Why? What? "I love you, Richie." Scratches his face and then dies, like, melodramatically after Chris had stabbed her. I think you would say, like, "Help me. You know, why are you doing this? Take care of my children."
It made me nuts.
"I love you, Richie. I've always loved you. My first love."
"I love you, Richie. I've always loved you.
Even that you were the father.
You are the only one.
You are the father of two out of, no, you were the father of my second of four children and the adopted father of my first child. I love you so much." Again, no shame. So Richie then drives Chris back to Walmart. And that's why the blood was in Richie's car. Because Chris had blood on him because Chris had done the stabbing. And that's why the blood was in the passenger seat. And then Chris kept threatening Richie and his family, and that's why Richie didn't say anything to the cops. So the police are like, okay. So they go to the Walmart, and Walmart has the best security cameras ever. And they can show that Chris, who was working his night shift at the Walmart, never left the store. He was there the whole time. So it's literally impossible, the story that Richie's telling. So the police tell Richie, "We have him on tape the whole time at Walmart. Chris absolutely could not have done it." And Chris is like, "Oh, I'm not going to say anymore now." So they go to court, and the prosecutor, I felt, was very tired. Her eyes were very red. She needed some sleep. It's hard being a prosecutor in a man's world. And the prosecutor and Keith are so bemused by Richie saying, "Angela, I love you." Angela saying, "I love you" to Richie. Like, Keith finds that hilarious. And so does the prosecutor. And it was kind of cute. So then the defense half-heartedly.
Well, what did you think?
Well, it was funny. And I thought it was funny that they both thought it was funny. Okay. So Richie's defense in court kind of half-heartedly says that Richie was set up, but you can kind of tell that he doesn't even believe it. Did you notice
really
that?
Really half-heartedly. The defense attorney was giving it maybe 30%, if that.
He did not have his coffee today.
I hope he was a public defender.
Yeah.
Because that, don't pay for that.
You know, he was like, "Jury, my client was set up, so
yeah,
I'm asking you to give a innocent plea." I don't even know what he said. He just like
it was so bad. He was like the they have not met the burden of reasonable doubt in this case. So we are asking you, pause, to return a verdict of not guilty for my client. That's literally about
like he's like, "I do not even remember my client's name right now.
Yeah.
I am working 40 cases at once.
This gentleman right here, whoever this is." This guy who looks like every other guy.
"I heard there's a really good food truck outside, and I am much more interested in that right now."
I'm very excited. Nacho Daddy is here today. We'll be having the quesadilla supreme platter.
"I would like you to bring a positive verdict for the nachos. Thank you very much."
"I brought my own guacamole from home in a jar. I will not need to be purchasing the extra guacamole."
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have guacamole in my little cooler here under my desk. You are welcome to partake in it, but only if you wrap up your deliberations by the time the food truck leaves, which is at 3:45. I'm going to need to make this quick. Guacamole is on the line here.
It's probably
Please
all
bring
brown.
Back
There's a layer of brown on the top.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get it to stay. It won't stay green.
No, you can't get it to stay. No. I have some brown and green guacamole. The green is underneath. I am willing to scrape off the brown on top, but only if you bring in this non-guilty verdict. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. The judge is like, what about me? Do I get guacamole? And
No, the judge can buy his own guacamole. Yeah, the judge is rich. He can buy it from the food truck. He can buy their guacamole.
Yeah. So the jury takes less than an hour. So they probably did get guacamole because they did do a very fast job. And they find him guilty. Now, panic room Kristen Stewart is crying. And she firmly believes that he is a good man and did not do it. And her sister moves to town to help her. You're smiling already. The sister,
Abby,
has punk unicorn color hair. And I kind of liked it.
Good.
I'm going to shock you. I liked it.
Good.
I even liked it on Dateline. And I really liked her glasses.
I thought they were really cute. They had like purple
with her hair. Almost.
Yeah, that was cute.
And I liked her makeup. So I was Team Abby. Then they panned out. Here's where my problem started.
Are you going to talk about this now?
I am. She is wearing a sleeveless denim vest.
Correct.
And that's a hard pass for me. She has arm tattoos, which whatever floats your boat, and a silver cross, whatever floats your boat. But then I found out she's a single mom. And then I was kind of back on board because single moms, they don't have time for sleeves. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
And so she just pulls it on and goes. She needs her arms free to wrangle these children solo. Mad respect. And she's still rocking the hair. So I was okay with Abby. My feelings were complex. It was a bit of a roller coaster.
Do you know how long it takes to get your hair like that? Because I do.
Maybe.
And her the kids, upkeep.
Yeah, that's true. So she's a selfish single mom.
Or she's a hairstylist. She works in a salon. And so she.
You know
gets
what? I take back
done.
Selfish. I take back selfish.
Good, you should.
How can a single mom be expected to take care of her children by herself if she doesn't fill her own cup first?
And then coming.
She has to take care of herself first.
Got oxygen?
And feel good.
It's the oxygen mask in the
oxygen
airplane.
Mask.
Yeah.
You put it on yourself, you do your own hair, and you feel good about yourself, and then you can take care of those children.
But then you have to go and take care of your sister who's sobbing because her husband just got put in prison for killing his ex-wife.
And he's a really good guy, and he didn't do it.
Well, you have to listen to her say that over and over again.
Over and over.
So you think he's wrongfully accused?
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
She thinks he's wrongfully accused, is what I'm saying. So she's going to help. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Continue.
She thinks he's wrongfully accused. I do not.
So the sister is, Abby is very noble to go and help. Like, help out and be like, I don't want my sister to be upset.
Because, yes.
Sorry, I keep wanting to call her Amy.
I don't know what her name was until you said it was Abby.
No, not Abby. The actual Richie's second wife. What's her name?
Cindy.
I keep...
Spelled like Cindy Lauper.
Yeah, I couldn't...
Or you can call her baby Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Who she looks nothing like, but that's fine.
She did in the first part.
Not
the interrogation
even a little
video.
Bit.
Okay, but it's... you have to watch Gay of Thrones, which is that web series that's so funny, because he calls... Arya from Game of Thrones, baby Kristen Stewart.
From Panic Room. But this girl looks nothing like Arya or like Kristen Stewart from Panic Room.
No, she doesn't. But in the first interrogation video,
the jacket reminded you of that.
No, it was more the fact that she looked like a little boy, like in Panic Room, when I thought Kristen Stewart was a little boy with long hair. One of those really pretty little boys.
Press on.
With long hair. That would be on Disney Channel.
Press on.
Okay. So Abby moves to be with Cindy, support her sister. But then Cindy got lonely. A certain kind of lonely. Uh-oh. That's what Keith says. Keith said, uh-oh. He said, he's not happy.
No, he's not. Also, he's not a fan of Cindy.
Why is she so lonely? Her sister just moved to town to be with her.
This is exactly what I wrote down. I said, no, this is a girl who has never, this is one of those women, unfortunately, who has probably not been single for a long period of time in her life. So if she doesn't have a man in her life or in her orbit, she considers that lonely, which is so not the case.
No.
That's not.
And,
you're lonely because you're creating that in your mind because you don't have a man fawning on you or whatever. You don't have the attention of a male, which
bothers
me.
Take a page out of Abby's book. She's there single. She doesn't care.
She's moving to
help
you.
She has her children.
Yeah, I'm done with this nonsense.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You don't need a man to make you happy.
Ridiculous.
So then, so stepmother Cindy is now raising like her own kids and Richie's kids with, what's her name? Angela.
Mm-hmm.
So the sister keeps asking her, are you sure that he was home the whole night of the night of the murder? And Cindy keeps saying, yes, yes, he was home the whole night. I know he couldn't have done it. But the cops think that she's lying and that she maybe had something to do with it, but they don't have proof. So the sister says that she was lonely and she reconnected with this bartender named Matt that she used to be friends with. Now, I'm not, again, no judgment. Her husband is in prison and she's raising these kids and she starts to regularly hang out with this ex-bartender that she used to know and all of his dude friends.
What? They're not hanging out.
Yeah.
No, they're just talking on the phone.
Oh, they hang out, they go to drinks, and then they start talking on the phone all the time.
No, because the dude man lives in Denver.
And then they go out again. You're right. He comes to town and they go out again. You're right. She's having maybe an emotional affair is what we would call it.
When?
And what?
When is she having the emotional affair? You're not talking about after he's in prison.
I'm saying she's spending a lot of time communicating with Matt.
Yeah.
Well, her
you
husband.
Know what? I'm an idiot. No, sorry. That's my fault. It's sort of. It was my
male attention.
It was my thought that, like, if he goes to prison, like, he's dead to me. Like, my thought was that they
got
a divorce.
No, she kept saying she supported him.
No, she supports him. You're right. I'm sorry. Yes, that's my bad.
No, I was not saying she has no right to move on. She thinks he's innocent, and she said she was going to stand by him while he was in prison, and she is now emotionally becoming attached to this other guy, it seemed like, Matt, the ex-bartender. So Matt and his friends take her out. Now, Matt had done a year behind bars for burglary when he was younger, but he had turned his life around.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Cindy, you know, don't lie to the cops. Katie's phone keeps falling over. It's really funny to me.
Sorry.
It kind of looks like Blair Witch Project.
It's in, a precarious situation.
It looks
situation.
Like the Blair Witch Project every 5 minutes.
Sorry.
At
all
the
right.
end.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Matt tells her, don't lie, because if you got like perjury charges, you could go to jail. And I've been to jail, and jail is not fun, and you have children. So make sure you're telling the truth to the cops. So they are chatting a lot and texting. And one day she slips up and kind of says something. She says something like, the knife was a backup. It was supposed to be a gun. Which is not a little slip up.
Because
that's
Matt had said, why
up.
Would you go there with a knife? Why does this happen with a knife? What's the
yeah,
knife?
Yeah, it's
and
messy. It's dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. And now that implies many things. That she mainly that she knew about the murder, that it did happen, that Matt did do it, and B, that she knew about it before. Because there
Correct.
Was a plan that she knew about.
Right.
So that's a pretty huge slip up. So Matt is actually a really good guy. And he goes immediately to the cops and says she knew something. This is serious. Mm-hmm. And they make him a confidential informant. And, oh, there we go. Prairie Confidential. Confidential informant. Kind of.
All right.
It's still a stretch. So they asked him to wear a wire. They want him to go meet her at a motel room. But again, Matt's a nice guy and he's engaged. And he doesn't want it to look like shady.
Such like a nice guy, because he's like, there's only one reason we'd go to a hotel room and that's not going to happen. I think it's more that Cindy is coming on to him hardcore.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to be in the
Be in a hotel room
Put
with her, and he's worried that she's gonna kill him if he turns her down. Yeah.
That's true too. So he doesn't want to wear a wire because he felt like she was that paranoid, which is weird because she hadn't been that paranoid. She had been like, not, I don't know, but he thought that she was paranoid enough that she would maybe make him like show his chest or something, like
maybe.
That he wasn't wearing a wire. So they wire the car and he records it on his phone when they go inside this bar. They talk all night. She doesn't say anything about it, but the night is not a waste because Butt Chin and Hot Blonde Cop are doing a stakeout, sitting in their car romantically feet away. And I really hope they're fogging up the windows.
No, they said they were falling asleep.
I think they maybe made out a little.
I don't think they made out. I think they got milkshakes, though.
See, I think, like, a stakeout could be really romantic, but then I also think it could be really gross, and the car smells like fast food and farts, and is just not attractive. So I'm choosing to believe that it was kind of romantic, and they're, like, nudging each other to keep each other awake, because it's, you know, because it's tiring, and they're comfortable with each other, so they fall asleep. This is when the relationship is just blooming, I think.
Yeah, maybe so.
Cindy says that she's pissed that Richie got caught. This is like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. They're sitting in the car and he's thinking, this is not happening. Like, the whole night she said absolutely nothing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she just says how pissed she is at Richie.
But this is when he's dropping her off, right? So they're just chilling in the car. Yeah, they're just sitting
there for like an hour.
She's not saying anything. She's just sitting there because she doesn't want to go back in. Because when she gets in the car, you hear her on the recording say, oh, they finally went to bed. They finally passed out. The kids finally passed out. She doesn't seem to
like these children
She's a kindergarten teacher. No, she does not.
And she fought so hard for these children.
Go ahead.
So she says, I'm so pissed that Richie got caught. He got sloppy. Then she really drops the bomb. We had had this planned for 2 years. And you know what? Angela put up a good fight. She did. I'll give her that. Which is so noble of you. Thanks, Cindy. That's really sweet. You're a good girlfriend. So she put up a good fight. She scratched his face. And then she shows her true colors. And she says, you know what? If she had scratched my face, I would have gone back to the house. I would have cut off Katie's phone fell down because it's so dramatic.
Sorry.
Right? In the most dramatic
part.
Sorry. She says, if she had scratched my face, I would have gone back to the house. I would have cut off her fingers and burned them. And I would have lit the house on fire. Dramatic much?
She's a freak.
She's a freak. Also, there was a son in the house. There was a little boy in the house.
Right.
She's just a sick, twisted. And poor Matt, who is a good guy, he is like, looks like he wants to vomit in the car.
Yeah.
But he has to keep going along with it, acting like he's totally fine with the whole thing. And then she says that Richie had a gun, but it kept jamming. So that's why he used the knife. And he came home with the knife and she helped him clean up, get rid of his bloody clothes and stuff, and then he went out and got rid of the knife. She says it needed to be done to get the kids that now will not fall asleep and are driving her crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you wish for. And Cindy would even sit outside Angela's house before the murder and spy on her for Richie. She would say, like, oh, her boyfriend just left for his night shift. It's whatever. It's 8:02. This is what time you have to go, like a sting operation. But Richie couldn't do it. He messed it all up. He didn't clean the car good enough. She's totally nagging on Richie because he left that spot of blood. And now Butt Chin and Hot Blonde are high-fiving in the car and hopefully making out because they're listening to all this. And they're like, we have her. We're mm-hmm. so excited. And then Matt is like, okay, well, I guess that's it. So Cindy goes in the house. Like, bye, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for letting me spill my guts about murder.
Yeah.
And then the cops go to see Matt, and Butt Chin wants to hug him. And I hope that Matt said, sure, let's go for it. Let's do a bro hug.
Yeah.
And then they go the next day to see Cindy, who is a substitute teacher, again, like Peggy Hill, and they arrest her at school. And Keith points out that Cindy, so they go to, we cut now to court. Cindy is tiny, as Keith says, almost childlike in her jumpsuit. And I wrote, thank you, Keith, in advance, in case Katie makes fun of me for obsessing about how small Cindy was. And I knew you would. And Keith basically said she was almost childlike in her jumpsuit and looked just like Kristen Stewart in Panic Room.
It did not.
He said it really quietly, and if you put on the subtitles, you could hear it. I'm sorry that you did not put on the subtitles. So now the sister with the hair dye is furious and feels betrayed. Keith gets to talk to Cindy on the phone from jail. Her answer is that she was lonely, again with the lonely, and trying to impress Matt. Why? Because she wanted to be friends with him, or she wanted to have an affair with him while her husband was in prison? Of something he supposedly didn't do?
It's the most pathetic thing.
It is. And then she said, well, Matt was a criminal in the past, too, so I wanted to say something that would relate to him and that would impress him, which is low to, like, throw back it in Matt's face when Matt has cleaned his life up and is a good guy. So I'm even more pissed at Cindy right now. The prosecutor thinks if you're trying to impress... Oh, this is so good. Do you remember this? The prosecutor says to Keith, if you're trying to impress a boy, you lie about being a state champion gymnast or diver.
Or diver. Oh, sweet Keith.
What? No, the prosecutor says that to Keith.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
What is she talking about?
Well, maybe she has a child who's a diver.
Or a champion gymnast?
Or she was a champion gymnast. We don't know. That sounds like personal life stuff. You're just pulling from your own life experience.
Yeah, it's the way she says it with such conviction. It's like, everyone knows if you're trying to impress a boy, you say that you've meddled in an equestrian tournament. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows.
You don't lie about being an accomplice to murder. What? You don't. No one does that and say, you know, I was a champion gymnast once. Or, you know, I was on the diving team.
I'm going to start doing that.
A really good diver. I'm totally going to do it. Next time you make fun of me about Rhode Island, I'm going to be like, I was a diver. And I placed third place. And that is how I'm going to impress you. I am a champion gymnast.
I was a high board diver, Katie.
Duh. I get the gymnast thing. If you were trying to impress a guy, it might be like, because I'm super flexible, maybe.
Yeah, that
is
would
that
be
what
one.
She's implying?
Yeah, sure. But I no, it still
but
seems
she says
weird.
Boy. Like, she fully says, like, impress a boy.
Well, that's
like,
because that's how Cindy
kids.
Is acting. Because yeah, it's like, why would you try to impress someone that you had this murderific plan? Yeah.
Right, right. So I'm going to go, you know, I started the environmental club at my high school. Impressed? No? Let me try again.
You know I was a future business leader of America.
You know I was a, what was it? I can't remember what that guy was.
Which one?
Like the Key Club.
Oh, yeah. Kiwanis? What was he?
No, he was
Rotary.
A
Rotary. He was a Rotarian. You know I was a Rotarian.
Rotarian.
In my spare time. It's horrible. All right.
So bad. Okay. So they offer Cindy a deal for 25 years. And she says no. She says, I want to take an Alford plea in hopes that she'll get lesser time, like 10 years. This is so good. The judge does not buy one word of her story and instead gives her life without parole. And like, even the cop is surprised.
Yeah.
And Keith is surprised that it's life without parole because she didn't actually kill anyone. She was part of the plan and an instigator for sure, but she did not kill anyone.
She might
and
get that overturned.
She
I hope
was
not.
But. Offered a deal for 25 years, turned it down, and then got life. That is, she shot herself in the foot.
Suck it, Cindy.
Yeah, suck it, sister. So then, now I don't like the sister anymore. I'm back not on Team Abby, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because she is very upset. Of course, you would be. But it's less that her sister took part in a murder and more that she won't get to go on road trips with her sister anymore.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me because why would you want to go to Yosemite with a murderer?
Yeah.
Like, she's crying and you expect her to go, I'm just so sad that my sister could have done something like this, that poor Angela is dead, that these babies don't have their kids. And instead, she's like, I'm just so sad that my murderer sister got life in prison and I won't ever get to go on road trips with her outside of prison walls.
I don't know how deep the breadth of emotion is with these, with this family. I feel like it's very like surfacey level and then the rest is sociopath.
That's fair. So, I mean, I should give the sister props because at least she's not a murderer.
Correct.
And I still like her hair and her glasses and her makeup.
And she's still probably a kick-ass single mom, I hope.
Good for you. Hopefully. So, Richie is also doing life. And they show a footage of him in court. I don't know if you caught it.
Hmm.
He blew a kiss at someone in court. Not with the hand and the blow, but with the pursed lips, mwah, to someone in court.
His mom.
And I wanted to know your thoughts, because I know you have very strong thoughts on winking in court.
Yeah, I do.
I know you do. Is winking better or worse than blowing a kiss at someone in court?
Oliver, can you come here? Wink at Kimberly. Now blow a kiss like this.
The kiss was worse. Kiss in that is worse. Scenario. Okay,
there we go. All right. So now Oliver.
But it could be just the way Oliver did it. But yeah, the kiss, just do it one that's time. Worse.
Don't do the index finger. Don't do toddlers.
Now he's doing don't an do toddlers index and tiaras. Finger right. on the kiss.
Come and over the, and just do one kiss.
Eh. And now do the wink.
No, the wink.
No, not the. Do the wink again. God, they're both really bad.
Yeah, they're both bad. Thank you, Oliver.
I'm torn.
You stop.
He's still doing the toddlers and tiaras. Kiss, wink, blow a kiss.
That's the one that's the best one.
Make a heart around your face. Yep. Draw a little dimple on. Doing the whole thing. Okay. It's enough now. I can't. It makes me so uncomfortable. So we think they're both bad. They're both bad.
They're both bad. Yeah. They're both bad.
Okay. So that's this episode. That was Prairie Confidential. Let's jump. Did I miss anything that you wanted to say?
I'm checking.
She's checking her pages of hotel paper notes.
I have the hate the lonely. No, I have something for fashion police. I did write, Richie deserves to go to jail for not wiping down the car.
Wow, you did. It was a small spot. I did write that down.
It was a small spot.
It could have been ketchup.
But it was clearly visible in the middle of a light paneling on a car. It was like a light gray panels on the car.
That's really
and it was
dumb.
Like, bing, right there. And I also don't know how he was driving the car and got all the way on the passenger side.
That is interesting. That is part his story with Chris, if it
kind
wasn't
of
completely
sense,
implausible,
right.
kind of would
but
make sense.
But then one thing Cindy says during the whole ordeal is like, oh, if he just waited, if he just been patient, I think he wasn't supposed to go and do that Chris story yet. I think she was still like checking on things. She was probably checking on surveillance at Walmart and things like that. But duh, Walmart has a bazillion cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is videotaped.
If you were smart, you would have called Chris away somehow with mm-hmm. a fake emergency mm-hmm. so that the cameras would have shown him leaving. But then his cell phone would have like some call on it. You'd have to do a burner phone, a whole thing if you knew it was going to be that night and you knew you were going to try to frame it on him.
Yeah.
So they really should have thought harder about this.
Yeah.
Because you know there's only going to be two suspects, you and the other guy. So you got to clean up after yourself if there's only going
to
be two
suspects.
That's
why I said Richie deserves to go to prison. Okay, what do you have?
B-roll bonanza.
Yep, what you got?
The university's logo
mm-hmm.
is be seen, be heard.
Oh, come on.
It seems like it was made for like millennials, because that's all millennials really want is to like be able to share their thoughts and feelings with the world via YouTube. And that you're like saying, come to our university, be seen, be heard.
I'm not going to tell you what I thought of when you said it.
What did you think of?
It's really wacky.
What?
Because I thought of be seen. I was like, oh, what if it was be seen? And it was so is BC instead of AD, it's BC before Christ. And then it was be heard. And it was a picture of John Heard. And he was in Bible robes.
Oh my God. That's where your mind went in 2 seconds?
It did. I made a pretty little starburst here, though, on this pad I got.
Okay. Look forward to that.
It's not on the notes. I wrote it on a separate pad that we will not be sharing.
Yes, we will.
No. It's been a long day. I've been in 105 degree heat watching Sweaty Men.
I know. Okay, so there's another B-roll of butt chin cop and hot blonde getting into a car, like super badass cops. And he has his badge on the necklace.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and she has her badge on her hip and a gun on her hip.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks super cool.
Shades
like
of blue.
Like, they both look so cool.
Yep.
Loved that. And then I've gotten so obsessed with the B-roll, driving B-roll in the car, that I've now analyzed the order that it is shot in. So with Matt, the bartender informant. So with Matt, the bartender informant, first it's from the passenger seat. Then it's, what are you doing?
I'm trying to tell Oliver to get me some ice. Sorry.
The people know that you need ice.
Did you see me? I was snapping like a dog.
I know.
I'm sorry. I know. That was embarrassing. Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to get his attention, but letting you continue with your car analysis, which I'm sure is fascinating.
Which you were not, clearly not listening to.
Not so, invested in.
From the back, first it's from the passenger seat. Then it's his face in the rearview mirror. Then it's from the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's close up on the face from the passenger seat. Then it's his hand on the gear shift. And then it's outside the car driving. And then he's outside of his car and he's looking out the window, probably looking at his car, just checking on his car. It was really weird. It was too much. It was like 19 shots in a row. And I didn't need it.
Maybe they needed more B-roll because they missed all the exposition on Angela. We don't know anything about her.
So what we're going to do,
we don't know if she was a diver or a gymnast.
A diver or a champion equestrian.
Yeah.
So they just made Matt drive and they kept doing close-ups of him, including his hand on the gear shift. Like, how self-conscious would you be if you had to just like drive and the camera is inches from your hand?
I don't know though. Matt was kind of a Dateline Dream. Hero on this.
Yeah, he kind of was.
And I have reasons for this, but yeah.
Okay. So my very last B-roll is, there's a photo of the bedroom where Angela was murdered.
Correct.
And above the bed.
Yes.
Is.
Yeah.
Did you notice this?
Oh, yeah. I thought.
So it's one of these framed collages of the children and the family.
No,
and
it's a full family.
In calligraphy, it's like a full
family. But then it has
family.
The cutout holes. It has like a backing that's like brown and gold. And then it has cutout holes. You place pictures of your family. And what's your issue?
Yes. My issue is the location.
That you don't have
a
family?
I'm fine with that. No. Ouch. Ouch.
A family of your own. I don't either.
I had a family. His name was Gryffindor. And he died. So F you.
Stop it. But what if Oliver and I had a family? We could have a family portrait above our bed and it would just be us and probably you.
Okay. I'm fine with the family portrait thing. Can I speak? Am I allowed to use my voice? I need to be seen and be heard, Katie.
And be John Hurt.
And be John Hurt. So I am fine with the family thing. I do not like the location above the bed.
Because?
Because it is not sexy. And it's not sexy time conducive.
You don't know that Angela was like a real sexy lady.
She had
a family and a
fiance.
Four
children with three different men.
I think you're being very judgy on the placement of that photo.
I think you should try to make your bedroom more of a sanctuary for you as a couple, unless you're one of these couples that does a family bed, because you're one of those attachment parenting people. Please write us on Twitter, because I have so many questions about attachment parenting.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
The people who have a family bed and let their 9-year-old sleep with them every night.
No, I don't want to talk about that. Wait, let me ask you a question. What if that family framed print was on a sidewall, perhaps via vanity, but still in the bedroom?
Fine. Fine.
So it's not the fact that it's in the bedroom, it's the fact that it's the only thing hanging above the bed.
The only thing hanging above the bed. And if they are potentially having sexy time,
that someone looks up and sees a picture of
a child. In a position. So I just phrased it in a way that made Katie very uncomfortable, and she is editing it out.
Just said,
but you agree with my point.
I agree with your point.
That if you were having special times,
should we get Oliver to
all of a sudden looked up and there's like a giant photo of your children looking at you? That's not sexy.
It's not sexy.
I phrased it in a way that was very wrong, and I hear that now. But that's not what I meant. You know, obviously, that's not what I meant.
And if you
DM me on Twitter, I might tell you what I said and the way I phrased it.
Unbelievably but inappropriate.
I didn't mean it that way, but you would be faced with photos of your family. And I, like, maybe your parents are in that collage because it's your whole family and you're, like, trying to have sexy time and you have children, so you're exhausted and you're just, okay, like, should we move on?
We have exhausted this point.
Okay, let's move on. So, quotes of the week. The small night wind shivered along the flat, deserted streets and nipped with freezing little teeth at the ruins of autumn.
He's killing it. He's not only killing it, he's killing it, resurrecting it, killing it again. It's
a vampire, and then he staked it through the heart.
He's, what's his name? Who's that preacher that's bringing people back to life in Africa?
Robert Bailey. I was confused by the whole wind having teeth thing. It really creeped me out. And then I realized, like, I've heard, like, of the wind was biting or the weather was nippy or had a bite to it. So I guess I've heard it before. But for some reason, it made me uncomfortable because I was picturing, like the Langoliers or something. No, like, it works, little but, like, wind about it, having like, teeth.
Winter has sunk its teeth into this small New England town. I guess. Like, no, it works. All right.
The wind on the prairie is a fickle thing, like people sometimes are. Is that why Chris was so angry? Okay. This is one of these things.
I heard that it. I know it about it.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well,
is he saying that sometimes people are fickle and that's why Chris was angry? Because Chris was not angry about people being fickle, which means to change your mind. Chris would be angry about someone being a murderer, not being fickle. That's why Chris was angry. Does Keith not know what fickle means? What is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't want to say this is like a Dennis thing. Here's the deal. I don't want to say that Keith is wrong, so I'm declining to comment.
Could this be a Cupid? She cast her arrow into the sea. Yeah, and you're like, Cupid has the arrow, not the single person. So, Keith, I love your poetry, but we just need to analyze. We maybe shouldn't analyze it so much.
No,
it makes less sense when we analyze it. I didn't have any precious moments. Did you?
No. Except I do want to know what happened to the children, but yeah, where are the children in these episodes?
Where are my dragons? Really, everyone watch Game of Thrones. Just start at the beginning.
Okay. Wait, I did have one quote, though. Can I?
Please. Yes.
My quote was, "You never know when you set a trap exactly what you'll catch." That was a pretty good quote.
Who did he say that? He was talking about Matt.
He was talking about Matt setting the trap. I thought that was really good. Yeah. I don't remember that. Dang it.
Yeah, I like that. That's okay.
Did you have any fashion please? Because I certainly did.
No, please go with the fashion please.
One fashion please I had, which is really good. Bravo, Matt. Bravo, Matt, for wearing a collared shirt and a sport coat in your Dateline interview.
I did not even notice.
In all of his B-roll, he's at home. He's wearing like a Batman t-shirt and some other stuff.
He's wearing the Batman
which
shirt.
Which is totally fine. But in his interview with Keith Morrison, out of respect for Keith, he shows up in a collared button-down with a blazer. Bravo,
sir. Matt really was a winner.
Matt to me, okay, MVP. So if we're going into MVP and loser, MVP. Matt is MVP, hands down. He did the right thing for once. He called the police right when he thought something was up. He was like, you know what? This isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he thought, even at his own expense, because as an ex-con, maybe he could have gotten in trouble or they could have thought he had something to do with it, he did the right thing anyways, which means, Matt, I would buy you a beer if you lived near me. He's a good guy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know. Obviously, we don't know everybody's whole story. But anyways, and then loser, I had 100% Chris for not going into the house.
Yeah, that's a really good call because I just still don't get it. And that's kind of...
It's really bad. The fact that he didn't go, I don't know. I can't think of one person I would ask who I would give them the scenario that they would say, no, I would wait for the cops to come.
if it was your child and your fiance. It's a child
and fiance. Yeah. It's kind of unbelievable.
You would go in.
Oliver does could kill someone with his pinky.
Correct.
Would Oliver go in for me?
Would you go in for Kimberly?
Is he making a face?
He did S-E-S-E. He did his hand and then he goes, of course.
What a jerk.
Of course he would go in for you.
Well, we're just going to see about that.
We'll see about that.
I'm going to create a scenario. Test it out.
Please don't create a scenario. This is not.
Test it out.
No, that's not time for that.
Yeah, so I did notice the Batman t-shirt and also the detective was the MVPs also for me were the cops, by the way. The
love story?
Who hopefully got married. Mm-hmm. The detective is wearing this black and white striped shirt.
Correct.
Which, you know, it does that thing.
Yeah.
What is that thing? I read a whole article about what it is that makes it do that thing.
The wavy thing on camera?
The wavy thing, yes.
No, like you can't wear houndstooth. There's a few prints that you, and I'm surprised because I would think that they are given, here's the deal. I don't think Dateline gives you any specifications on
they
what
don't seem
to wear.
To.
Because I think that all they day, would say, day. Don't wear balls to the wall or all day, everyday t-shirts. Yeah. And also don't wear a baseball hat, but don't wear a shirt that's stripes or houndstooth in these patterns because it won't show up on camera or it'll look distorted. Yeah, it's weird, right? I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Alternative theories. I kind of was thinking perhaps all of Angela's kids maybe got together and were so sick of their mom getting pregnant by random douchebags that they just
that's
wanted to
That's a horrible theory.
Stop.
What time is that? Where's my pen?
What about her sister? They interviewed Angela's sister, who was definitely sick of Angela making these life decisions and having four children with multiple dudes. Also, we never talked about the fact that she was pregnant for the fourth time. So the baby was killed, too. That's terrible.
Yeah, it really is terrible.
They never mentioned that, do they?
They don't. They mentioned that she was pregnant and then nothing else.
That's so weird.
It's very bizarre.
Maybe she wasn't really pregnant.
But this was a strange Dateline episode in that fact. They didn't talk a lot about that stuff. And they didn't talk about... And we always hear something about them in their early life. And we heard... Nada.
Also, Chris was... Now that I'm remembering that she was pregnant and it was Chris's child.
Right.
He was even more unupset.
He still didn't go in. No, I can't. No, Chris
His pregnant fiance and his son were in there.
Yeah, Chris.
Maybe he really did think that she was cheating on him with another guy. Maybe that part of the story
There must
true.
Be some parts of the story that we're not hearing. That's the only thing that I can think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange. Did you have any titles?
You bet.
Or karaoke songs?
Yes, I had karaoke songs. Do you want those first?
Yes.
Okay, karaoke songs, definitely. Chris is Take It to the Limit by the Eagles. Take it to the limit. And I wanted to sing it like that. And then Richie.
Is that how that song goes?
Take it to the limit one more time.
Oh, that's not the song I thought it was.
No, that's the song I think it is. I think it's a slower Eagles song.
I was
song.
Thinking of taking it to the limit or something like that. What song is that?
Are you singing Taking Care of Business but singing the words
Taking Care of Business every day? No, I don't think I am.
You were.
It's possible I was.
Okay. So that would might be fine for Chris too. Richie, I had a weird one.
Okay.
Go with me on this. I think that he's more like fancies himself. I think Richie thinks highly of himself. So I think he's saying, take me to church.
Take me to church. I'm watching like a dog.
Because he sings it in the car and he thinks he's really good at it. But when you actually try to sing that song, it's not as easy as you think it is. And he probably gets the words too fast. And so he's ahead of the song and the music's behind him. Do you know what I'm saying? When people in karaoke do that? Because they think they know all the words, but they don't. That's what I'm thinking. And then for Cindy, I had Any Man of Mine, Shania Twain. Any man of mine better walk the line.
I don't think she cares what her men do. She just wants a man.
Right. Any man of mine. Yeah.
That's What's that totally song about Cindy boots song. At the bottom of your bed?
Things like
What's
that.
You know,
whose bed have your boots been under?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But no, she's an any man. She's a Shania girl, for sure.
Okay.
Who do you have?
I feel like a woman. I have for titles, I have Be Seen. Be heard. Be stabbed.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's not right.
I'm sorry.
We did not get enough exposition for Angela because you're not being very nice.
I know. I'm so sorry. And then I have your prairie home companion is really a police informant.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Prairie Home Companion.
Why don't we just go with Prairie Home Informant?
Prairie Home Informant.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good. That's better.
Done. Much Nailed better. It.
Yeah, you always could tighten it up.
I'll tighten it up for you. That's my job. Yeah.
Okay, you go. Titles?
Yeah, I had Walmart Confidential.
And then we're almost done because I really don't have Twitter. Sorry.
Okay. I had Walmart.
I forgot.
Walmart Confidential.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And then I had Cindy's Confidential. And then I had A Scratch Before Dying. I don't know why. And then I had Prairie Conversational.
Because they had a long conversation
in the car. And then I had Prairie Consequential.
Ooh.
There we go.
Dramatic, Keith. Thanks. So I think that's it. That's really all we have. And I don't have anything else to talk about. And Katie wants to go gamble or something. And
no, Oliver's in here and he wants to go meet some of his jujitsu buddies for drinks.
Ew, in Vegas. You're such a fancy gal.
Am I a fancy gal? Because I don't know how I feel about it.
Your hair is a little mussed and you keep winking at me because your contact is falling out.
Yeah, I gotta change my tired. Contacts. I gotta so change this, my contacts.
You gotta freshen up a little. Thanks before you go.
Kimberly just informed me that I need to get a little fresh because I keep like winking at her because my contact is about to pop out of my eye and my hair is a mess. Oh, and I see the hair right now. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good look. Okay.
But everybody, thank you. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Subscribe to us and leave a review on iTunes, please, please, please. And you can make a donation at paypal.me/date with Dateline.
No donations.
And our Patreon is up. And do follow our Patreon and
follow
listen
our Patreon
to our make
for
files.
Fun stuff. Yeah.
Super fun stuff on Patreon.
Oh, and our secrets, our next secrets is coming to Patreon. Yes. So get ready.
Yes. So thank you, and thank you for putting up with my parents last week.
They're amazing.
And if you want more, let us know. I think people seem to like them. We might be doing more.
They're fantastic. I think the more parent, the better. Thank you, everybody.
Watch with a room full of jurors and the green guacamole in a Tupperware container that you can only get access to after you scrape off the inch of brown guacamole on top.
Seriously, I can't believe it took them an hour. That's crazy.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.